Welcome back to the R&B show. I'm Noah, back with Rich and Brady and our returning guest, Corey. Hope you guys had a good week. Sorry about the late week post and the background noise. There's some construction going on outside. Our verse of the week is Psalms 139:10. Even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. Bridge, you want to kick us off?
That's a good one. I'm kicking us off? Okay. I thought you had this show today, bro.
It never does.
No? Okay. Well, first off, I guess we could just jump straight into the fact that Corey was telling us a crazy good story. Mm-hmm. You guys heard Corey last week, and we kind of collectively decided that...
Can you mute me?
Can I mute you?
Yeah, I'm trying to fix my mic.
Oh, yeah. I think you're three. Yeah, and collectively, we kind of decided, Brady, Noah, and I, that we loved having Corey on here so much that we're going to try and have him on here as much as possible, sure. Probably more as less of a guest than a regular co-host with us.
Yeah.
So that's kind of an honor for us, and we're excited for how that's going to come out. And we got a lot of good feedback on just like TikTok reels and stuff we posted from our episode last week with you. And it was our fastest growing episode like so far. And it's actually crazy because, I mean, it's in like the first 4 days, I think, and I'm throwing these numbers out there, like they're huge, but they're huge to us.
Yeah.
It was like 64 listeners on yours. And every other, like the next highest one was like 65 or 68. And it was like the first episode we posted 2.5 months ago. But since then, it's like drawn people to go listen to all of them. Yeah. And now like episode one's like 172.
Dang.
Episode two is like one something.
Yeah.
Faith and Football episode three is still pretty low because that's not everyone's episode. But
for sure. I know that TikTok clip.
Yeah, the TikTok clip, dude, it got like 1,700 views in the first 2 days. So
which one?
We posted one of you. I think telling the story you were talking about how you were in the little box, like in the courtroom.
With all the dogs.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man.
You couldn't cry, bro.
I know. The Lord keeps telling me, man, for whatever reason, just camera, video, YouTube. Because that's our goal, right? That would be our goal is to... every week collectively meet together and send the good news out into the world
for sure.
And the way that we can maximize that is by maximizing technology.
Yeah. Right? And so I've had like 4 or 5 people like this week, they told me, they're like, man, like I've listened to your last episode and some of the, like the past episodes. And they're like, I feel like you guys are really missing your calling. Like they're like, Ridge, you don't need to be running a pressure washing company and all this. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I enjoy pressure washing and all this. And they're like, no, you need to be in ministry. And I was like, well, that's what we're trying to do, bro. Like, digital ministry is a thing now. Like,
that's what we're doing.
That's what this is. Yeah, like,
for sure.
Man. I don't know if we go big, maybe drop the pressure washing business full time here.
Can I have drop it? The pressure washing business? I'll just make you run it full time.
Wow, thanks. I didn't want to do it either.
Yeah, because you never show up,
Brady.
No more bi-weekly pay, bro.
Brady, I don't think we. No more bi-weekly for Noah.
I'm just never paying.
I'm going to start paying him bi-annually.
Oh, jeez.
He gets paid every 6 months.
Come on, no, a set salary.
He gets a fat check every 6 months.
I will never work for you again if that was the case.
Our terms are worse. You gave me $1 a day. That was our conditions. I got $1 a day.
Well, and you never worked.
We're like food stamps over here. You still owe me like $12.
Brady, I don't think we've even mentioned the fact that you got a new job, dude.
No.
What are you doing?
Nothing.
Spill the beans. Come on.
Spill the beans.
No.
Come on. What are you doing?
No, I have like 3 jobs, bro.
Fine. I'll tell everyone. Brady is a manager at a trampoline park.
Wow. Thanks, guys.
Which is pretty cool in my eyes, but I despise trampoline
parks.
What
about the other two?
The other two? Then you mean the wedding venue?
Oh,
one you
yeah.
work for?
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
That is cool, dude. At 19, the only thing I managed was like a pill addiction. So, no, I got... What I think of our first wedding on, I work Friday, Saturday. We have weddings then. Then the other job starts up where I do my wedding coordination. That starts October.
Ooh. Sick, dude.
Can you coordinate
the Lopez's?
Can you coordinate my wedding?
Again? You already got married.
We're going to get remarried.
The renewal?
Yeah,
sure.
If you
pay for
renewal?
It. Give me $100.
$1 a day.
No. You sold me $12.
Oh my gosh.
I'm keeping tabs on you.
Well, you still owe me 30 if we're...
You do still owe 30.
All right, then I owe you 18 then.
Great, dude. But no, like I was saying, I despise trampoline parks. Not for my kids, but because
you're a baby.
Because the last time I was there, I broke my ankle in half. So, and the specifically like the one you work
literally?
At. Yeah.
Literally snapped your ankle in half?
Yeah.
Because he's playing with the kids stuff. I almost died at a trampoline park. I was trying to do... So I'm, you know, I mean, I can backflip and stuff. So I was trying to do two. Ooh,
big guy.
I know, right? No, but I was trying to do two, and I whiffed the second one, bro. And I literally landed 180 degrees upside Ooh. Down on top of my head, to where even the people that were working at the trampoline park were like, "Gee, are you all right, sir?" And I had to like play it off like it wouldn't, you know.
That's exactly what I did.
No, it's okay.
Like we were, it was an adult only like session, and we were playing dodgeball. And dude, I was jumping so high, and I came down, and the whole place went silent because it was just the loudest pop. I didn't even go to the doctor.
I thought I was on the ramp.
No. We were playing dodgeball on the trampolines. Like,
dude, how did you break your ankle playing dodgeball?
The furthest
dodgeball.
One. Like, so when you walk in, yeah, all the way down at the end.
Yeah.
And
is it a bunch of little trampolines that you kind of have to jump in between?
It's a set of six and another set of six, and then it's other side six.
Yeah,
I can see that.
And I was just jumping, dude, and came down, pop. And I was like, oh, no big deal. Like walking like it's normal with pain in my face. And then I sit down and I'm like, Deanna, I think I hurt my ankle. And she looks at it, and my ankle is like the size of my head. Like, didn't go to the doctor, proceeded to go play paintball that night, like got one of those like lace-up ankle braces, tied it as tight as I possibly could, couldn't move.
Bro, just you're sat, from Florida for real, for
just
real.
Just sat in the back and was shooting. And
did you even take any medicine, like anything?
No,
of course you didn't.
I had some ice that altitude gave me, but it didn't work too
No
well.
Incident report?
I think I did. But unfortunately, I had to fill out the waiver before, so I couldn't sue them. Not
sure do.
Yeah,
you can sue them.
No, I don't think I can go back now. 4 years.
You can sue them, but you won't win.
But yeah, and then that's when I went to the hospital right here in Apopka because I was like, this pain is too much. Like, I'm dying here. Like, I can't do anything. I couldn't walk. And by that time, my ankle was, like, twice as big as it was right when I had broke it. Mm. My buddy Josh sat with me for 4 hours in the ER. And I got x-rays. And they're like, yeah, we can't really do anything for you. You need to go to a specialist. Next day, went to a specialist. They're like, it doesn't even look like you had any ligaments in your ankle before. Like, it's everything's just non-existent.
Dang.
And I was out of work for 3.5 months for that. And, like, right when we were moving, too. So, like, it was, like, the next week we moved. So, I'm, like, rolling around on a scooter and, like...
trying to move furniture.
Thank God. No, I didn't move a thing. Deanna can attest
Mama
to that.
Mama D.
I got some great friends that were like all over moving every single thing for me. Deanna, like
I
Tim,
didn't get the invite.
I didn't know you then. So you would have been like 13.
I would have been 15, sir. Actually.
Corey, about this story you were telling us before, and we kind of cut you off because we wanted to save it to hear it live on the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
So kind of run us through what happened, a little bit about what you were telling us and all that.
Well, it's a praise report, man.
Yeah.
Just of God's faithfulness. It's an answered prayer. Literally, man, when stuff like this happens, it almost like takes you aback that like it's such a mighty God we serve, man. He's the master of reconciliation and bringing the lost child home. So in the process of me going through Teen Challenge and my salvation, and it was a very isolated season of my life. And in that season, I detached from, you know, my mom, my sisters. I have a little sister. Her name's Kylie Caparuso. I'm 10 years older than her. So me and that little girl had, it wasn't even like a brother-sister relationship. It was almost like I was like the father figure for her because our dad was just off the rails all the time. He would go to work, come home, drink himself to sleep, and in between, you know,
if you got caught in his path, it was never pretty. So I was like her protector. So by the time that she was three, I was 13. So I was kind of, you know, experiencing my little, you know, adolescent adulthood, and what I thought. It's just crazy, man. I remember Kylie would wake me up in the morning to make her breakfast and get her ready for her day, as opposed to my dad. And I'm like 13 years old, man. And it instilled in me a bond with that little girl. The only thing I can equate to it now is what I feel for my daughter and my son. So anyways, long story short, through years of breaking her heart, abandoning her, leaving her out to dry, relapse after relapse after relapse, she pretty much washed her hands with me, man.
Yeah.
She had became an adult, you know, 17, 18, 19 years old. She started voicing her opinion to me, man.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the tender little sweet angel, little baby sister anymore. She'd be like, "Corey, get your life together, dude. Like, what are you doing?" So I think the last time I spoke to her was right around the time that my dad passed away, and each of us got like $10,000, and that was right around the time the last time I had talked to her. Because that $10,000 essentially catapulted me into my rock bottom.
Yeah, that's when you went into hell itself.
Exactly. And it's crazy because that's when the generational curse was broken.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. It's like God's the master chess player and we just play checkers. But rock bottomed out, man. Accepted the Lord to deliver me. I truly repented to God for the first time in my life, and true repentance brought true deliverance, and I got delivered from just addiction and generational curses. And then I went on this journey to Teen Challenge. So I hadn't spoken to my little sister in 2 years, bro. You know, I went there for a year. I worked there for 8-9 months. I mean, I've been out. We got married. I've been here now for, since when, babe? June? Mm-hmm. June. So what is that, 4 or 5 months now almost?
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is going over 2 years. I have not spoken to my little sister because I was afraid, dude. I was afraid that the damage was irreparable. That's a consequence of addiction that a lot of people have to go through, man. You know, sometimes our actions are not justifiable. Some people, when they wash their hands with you, they're like, "Look, dude, I'm glad you're happy and sober, but live your life over there." And I thought that was my little sister. She Googles. I think this, so apparently she shared with my wife. She does this regularly to check pretty much to see if I'm alive or dead.
Yeah.
She Googles Corey Caparuso like this week, last week. And the first thing that popped up was the R&B show Recovered by God, Corey Caparuso. So she looks up Corey Caparuso on Facebook. I'm not on socials. I shared that. She finds my wife, Bianca Caparuso. And they've kept in touch throughout the. I mean, me and Bianca have been together for 10 years, so they, you know, they've talked, and she just like, "Hey, just checking in on Corey," and she started saying, she was telling Bianca like how she's, you know, she's never stopped praying for me, she's never stopped believing in me, this and that. So we start looking at her pictures on her Facebook profile, and she got baptized. Dude, she's in her own house. Mm-hmm. She's like, she's an entrepreneur. She's a like a self-taught tattoo artist. Oh, just, that's awesome. I know, I'm so proud of her, man. And the craziest part about it was for the last 2 years and some change, bro, my sign off to my morning nightly prayers is, "Lord, save my sisters, no matter what it takes."
Yeah.
Because I have my older sister Ashley, my younger sister Kylie, and we all have that bug. We all have that generational gene, and we all coped with it our different ways, man. The Lord did it, man. I'm sitting there praying for her salvation, bro, and she's been saved for months now. So it was just an awesome testimony, man, of God's faithfulness. Yeah. I'm sitting there and I'm still praying to this day. I'm like, "Lord, please just save my baby sister."
Yeah.
Come to find
it's
out.
Not something you want to stop praying. Like,
no, yeah, definitely.
You said it yourself. Those the harder we work for God, the harder Satan works for us. So it's not something we want to back down from. It's not our last defense. It's our first offense.
That's right, brother.
Thinking about that, we did not open up in prayer today.
Oh, that's true.
Take what it away, Corey. Better time than now.
Thanks, Noah.
Can I have my wife pray us in?
Oh, absolutely. And we didn't even tell you guys. We have Bianca and Deanna, they're sitting right next to us listening in on the show.
They're just staring at us.
Staring at us, laughing at us, the goofy things we're doing. This is why we can't be on camera, because we mess around too much.
I feel like we would take it a lot more serious, though, if it was like
we'll action. No, yeah. We don't have to take it serious on camera. That's true. Absolutely. If she's fine with it, she can pray us in. Adjusting the headset.
Lord, Father God, we just thank you for this day, God. We thank you for the opportunity, God, to be able to share your message, Father God. And we just pray that, God, you open the ears and the hearts of the people listening, God. And we pray that, you know, your word can be spoken, God, and your word can be received, Father God. Lord, and we just thank you for this opportunity, God. And we just ask, God, that you be glorified, God, through every single word that we speak on this podcast, Father God, that you can be glorified and magnified. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, sorry. I had Tanner called me in the middle of that, and I abruptly hung up on him, so I had to tell him what we were doing.
I didn't know if y'all heard that, but she threw in a little cage, and she said, glorified and magnified.
Yeah, oh, I heard it. That's like caging. Dude, I wanted to ask. So you said last week that you're going to send this to your mom. Did your mom get a chance to listen to it or no?
She did, man.
What were her thoughts on it?
She said, she said it makes her heart so happy to hear young men on fire for God. And look, man, you know, a lot of that stuff is it's tough to talk about, because I know my mom was just doing the best she could with what she had, but that it's my testimony. I have to bring forth testimony. Revelations 12:11 says that we are saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So a lot of my testimony kind of sucks, man, for my family.
Yeah.
Not that they did anything that they weren't supposed to do. Like I said, my mom was doing the best she could with what she had. But I was just afraid it might have, like, you know, hit a nerve in retrospect, because it's my perspective. It's my life through my lens.
Yeah.
And my mom did the best she could, man. Yeah. You know, she's super proud. Proud, man.
Awesome. And Deanna, Bianca, if you guys, like, if we're talking and you guys want to, like, blurt something out, like, just let us know. We can pass a mic over. Y'all can...
Yeah, Deanna needs to talk sometime. Hold on. Eventually.
Y'all can say something. I mean, we can have both of you guys on, an official episode for sure, and just kind of get... Yeah.
The wives.
Give Noah a break.
It might end the R&B show. The R&B wives, bro.
The R&B wives.
Hey, that's like a spin-off podcast.
Yeah, right.
If you want to. Sorry, I'm answering Noah's text to me on the pod.
I like secrets, bro.
He loves secrets.
Secrets don't make friends.
Okay, no, but like, I don't
secrets
know
keep
if,
you
like,
sick, bro.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should bring it up or...
It's a part of your life. It's a part of your testimony.
It's hard because he has no idea the context behind any of it at all.
Oh no, yeah. I mean, we can explain it to him a little bit. I mean, you don't.
Name drop.
No, you're not going to go in depth. I mean, it seems listen, from what you guys told me today, it seems like that the aggressor in this situation kind of realized he made a mistake and apologized. And I don't think he would be mad at. And if he was, he can come to me about it.
Okay, Dad.
Dad,
thanks.
What was it?
Old Dad over there.
Two nights ago, a couple people, well, one person kind of went off on Brady and I for kind of what, like, we're turning our lives into, and just, like, said some just, like, hateful, disrespectful things.
It was crazy. I was reading it, and I'm like, it's like, what, like 1:30 in the morning. I'm like, looking at it, like, am I seeing this twice? Like, and, like, some of the things he was saying, because he's talking about, like, it wasn't like the show. It was just like everything we were standing for, like as of now.
Like changing, like not, you know, partying anymore, doing worldly things.
Yeah, trying to live their life
for Christ. And just like bashing us for doing that. And just like, I was just like, come on. Like,
You ready? You ready for scripture? Jesus said, blessed is the man who is persecuted for righteousness, for his is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 5, bro. Blessed. Dude, when Peter and John, they got beat when they were coming out of the, in the early days of the church, when they got imprisoned. Sorry, I get fired up. I get to stuttering. They got stoned. They got flogged. They got imprisoned over and over and over again. And when they would leave prison after angels of the Lord would break them out, they would jump for joy that they were counted worthy to suffer. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
So like spiritual warfare doesn't start until we're saved.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The devil's not worried about nobody on the sidelines, bro. He's worried about the people in the game.
Yeah.
You know, he wants the starters. He doesn't want the third strings, dude. So you're not going to get attacked. Yeah. So almost you can find almost like some consolation in it because you don't get attacked if he doesn't deem you a threat. So people aren't going to use that, your faith against you, unless the devil sends them to you, man. And that means that means that God, you know, he has a plan for your life. He intends to use you. And then you're doing something for the kingdom, man. That's what why Jesus said, blessed is the man who is persecuted. Blessed.
Yeah.
Blessed is he.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can tell you guys, things are definitely going to get harder
from on out. No, 100%.
Like, now that you're trying to do the right things, like you're living the right way, like Satan's going into overtime.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And Deanna and I have experienced this like firsthand back at our old church, like when we finally like decided, like, you know what, we're gonna like start living the right way, try and get back into the word, like living for Christ. And then like boom, like Deanna gets sick for like 3, 4, 5 months, like no idea, doctors have no answers, like nobody can tell us what's wrong. But our first thought is like man, we're getting attacked. Like we are under attack. Mm-hmm. And Brady, you unfortunately, I think you were working last week, or it's right when you got sick. The whole last Wednesday night sermon was on spiritual warfare, and that was a good one. That's another thing I want to share about when Pastor made the joke, because like, we're all like, "Oh, we want some of that, Pastor," and then he comes back to us, dude. Yeah. Like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I love our church, man. I love our. I mean, I met you dudes, man.
I met praise reports for my stomach.
Healed. Oh, yeah.
Please, shit.
My stomach's healed. So I've been having stomach issues.
No, run the whole thing, bro.
For I don't even know how long. Like anything I eat, my stomach just hurts. I'm bathroom constantly, and so
it's gross.
Hey, man.
You don't smell the farts, dude.
Coders are worse.
At church, our pastor was like, someone in here is having like stomach pain. Like it could be multiple people, it could be one person. So like I was one of the people that raised my hand.
Sure did.
And then he gets to praying, and then some lady in the row in front of us puts her hand on my stomach. And like after that, we went to Garibaldi's for lunch, and like I ate
Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
Never good for the stomach.
I ate tacos and cheese, which like I'm lactose intolerant. And like I come back from that, stomach doesn't hurt at all.
Really?
And then like the next days, like I eat like bad food, make my stomach hurt. Doesn't hurt.
Waffle House
didn't make my stomach hurt. And I'm just like, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus, man. He's the healer.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's the healer.
Sure. Noah, Brady, what were you gonna say? Do you remember? What? You were gonna say something when I started talking, and then I cut you off on accident.
No, I wasn't saying anything.
Oh, okay. You were just opening your mouth to the mic.
No, I wasn't saying anything.
Okay. But no, I mean, little plug. I mean, dude, Thrive. Thrive Church, Apopka. That place is sick.
I love it.
Like,
I've found what I've always been needing. I always knew I wanted. Me and Bianca talked about it. We didn't want just a church where we show up on Sundays, hear a message, sing a couple of songs, and then leave.
Yeah.
We wanted people to do life with, because that's what I learned how to do when I was in Missouri, man. I went to the same church, you know, essentially for 2 years almost, and I got to know people, and they got to know me, and I wanted that so bad, and I'm so grateful for the boldness and the persistency of my wife, who sometimes, you know, it drives me crazy a little bit, but it's necessary, because on Wednesdays when I don't feel like going, you know, she's, babe, we got church tonight.
Yeah.
I love it, man. I found people that I can do life with, people that I can be transparent and open and honest with and grow together. You know, we laugh together, we cry together. I love that. I love it, man.
Yeah, and it's like crazy, because it's, I feel like I know so many people. Like we're going on like week 6 now, I think, of going there. And I feel like I'm just like friends with everyone, like Eddie, like Josh, all of them, Mike, all of them. And we're just standing there in the lobby when I think you two went to go get the kids. Mm-hmm. And Eddie just goes, he's like, Ridge, come over here. And I was like, okay. He's like, I need you to pray for this guy with me. Yeah. And I was like, man, I've never been recognized like this. Like, and it's not about like the recognition, but like I've never like felt like I fitted in. Like I fit right. in. I fit in somewhere like this before.
I fitted it in.
And so like he calls me over there, dude, and it was just like I could feel the Lord moving like right there in that moment, like as I'm praying for this this man and over his marriage and all that, and with Eddie. And it's just like one of those things that are. The church, I wouldn't call it small in itself, but it's probably medium sized because like
it's solid medium.
Where we left was like 500 people of service. Before that, 25 people of service, like the church before that, and then this one we got like 150, maybe 200. It's a medium size.
Yeah, and then there's two services
too. Yeah, two services. I recognize every single person. Like when I'm walking in, they recognize me. Everyone wants to talk to you. Like it's just, it's such a perfect like community. And
I got another thing after you're done.
Go for it.
Oh, so like I think it was Eddie's wife. She's one that has a little baby, right? I was wearing like a Salt Life shirt, and it had waves on the back. And she was like the Lord was speaking to me during the service because I saw your shirt. And it was like kind of just, she told me like what I was going through and stuff, and like everything's gonna be fine. Like, it was amazing. It was crazy.
Yeah. Brady, don't look at me, bro. I'm not saying anything.
No, I'm just thinking of this like story you told me yesterday. And first off, how did you feel about like? So you sent me the dream your mom had of Josiah. Oh.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And I sent it to Pastor, and I was like, hey, like, I don't have this ability or this gift like you do to be able to interpret dreams. Mm-hmm. Like,
do you not, though?
Maybe I do.
Do you not?
And so, like, I sent Brady's mom's dream to Pastor.
Pastor Kevin.
And he was like, prayed on it and got back to me a few days later. What did you kind of feel about that, like, Brady?
Like, what do you mean? Like, I don't know. Like, it was like the whole like thing of that like idea. It was weird because like it wasn't like recently the people I had talked to like didn't like know Josiah like that. I've been having dreams about him. Like, like really weird. Like this person like 2 days ago had the same thing. Like she had never met him before one time ever in her life. She doesn't even live here, and she was like, I had a dream about him last night. I'm like, you've never met him before, and bro, everything she said was deadly accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like,
oh, and this is with Lexi.
Yeah,
right?
Bro, I sent her like a video of Josiah talking. She's like, that's exactly how he sounded like, and I'm like, but that makes no sense. And like the like what he was wearing, like what he like wore to the funeral, and I was like, bro, like I don't know how, like you know this, like because she's never met him before, and she wasn't around when he was around, so like it's just kind of like God speaking to you in different like ways, and like you know like obviously there's like so much like look at it in different like ways, like I just feel like there's like really a concrete answer, but more of like. God is speaking to you in certain ways.
Yeah, and it's just like little simple reminders, like that he's still around, like God still pays attention. Mm. Like, of course he does. I'm gonna share Captain, bro.
Shout out, Captain.
Captain Kevin. I think I'm calling him Captain Kevin from now on. After he listens to this episode.
That's so awesome, dude.
So your mom's dream was like she was in a hotel, right?
Yeah, she was in a hotel room or a hotel lobby. And she was walking through because she's like a flight attendant, so that's what she's always in. She's always in like you know hotels all the time. And I guess she was walking through a hotel, and at the end of the hallway was Josiah, and he was around the corner. And she just looked at her, and he didn't say anything. And then he just turned around, and walked away, and she went to go look for him, and he was gone.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like what the extent was to the dream, from what she told me.
Yeah.
And obviously, like I said, me and her spoke to the night before she had the dream, or like the night of the dream. Like we talked at, like 1:30 in the morning about how she couldn't sleep. And then, like, I like, gave her, like, advice like that and, like, kind of, like, read, like, a little scripture. And then she went to bed. And then, like, we had talked about Josiah very, like, very briefly. Mm-hmm. And then that happened. So, going back to what you were saying, obviously, Pastor told you.
Yeah, so I sent the, like, whole deal of your mom's dream to him. And what he got back to me was, his interpretation of it was, the deceased relative's talk of closure, generational issues, blessings, or inheritance being passed down. The standing in the doorway or like in the hallway would be new opportunities or promotions that are waiting before you. The hotel in the dream is about something being temporary. With these revelations in mind, then we look at overall dreams with those pieces together. Here's what I believe the Holy Spirit has planted as a seed. The issue and relationships that have caused pain and are closing and temporary but God is opening new pathway for promotion. It will be a process of walking things out, but walking on peace. And when he sent me that, it kind of like spoke to me in the form that like your mom, and I think you've shared it, like your mom has had like a struggle to have relationships with her like sisters and stuff.
Yeah.
And other members of her family. And with Josephine, your grandma, just passing a couple weeks ago, like maybe, and this is just kind of like my interpretation, like it's kind of where my head went immediately, is like maybe this is like kind of something of those relationships your mom, because I know your mom wants those relationships with her sister, because who doesn't want those relationships with their siblings?
Yeah, exactly. Amen.
Like maybe that's kind of like playing into a little bit of like that interpretation, and maybe that was her dream. Like it doesn't have to be Josephine. It doesn't have to be somebody in her family. But the fact that she was able to get it interpreted by somebody that can really do that and has that spiritual gift,
yeah.
I hope brings your mom comfort in the fact that maybe new things are coming, and these relationships with her sisters and siblings and family members might be being reformed and rebuilt and be getting better. And like that's just kind of like my prayer for Pam.
Yeah.
Which Pam's his mom. I don't know why I dropped Pam.
Yeah, bro. Come on, man. It's Miss Clifton to you.
God used a donkey in the Old Testament, man. He surely can use a dream nowadays. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
He will literally speak to us by any means necessary. Anything that is required to get our attention, whether it's a dream or a street sign or a number or a word from a friend or a
billboard, like hello. Pastor Kevin was saying on Sunday, dude. You, I can't wait to hear who saw the billboard. Like who? I just want to be like,
yeah,
I saw the billboard, Pastor. Like, and I'm like, what did the billboard say? I was like, was it my billboard? Because I used to be on billboards. But
yeah. You on billboards, bro?
Yeah, bro. I was on billboards all over Florida.
B&B Restoration?
It's not true.
No, not for B&B Restoration.
What do you say? Cap.
It was for Orlando City, the soccer team.
Okay.
So, like, when before they got before they were, like, in the MLS, which is the Major League Soccer, they had just found out they were getting into it. And as soon as that happened, the tattoo shop that my brother and I went to put on like a deal to get their logo for, it was like $21 because they were the 21st team in the MLS. And so we went and we got the tattoos and we posted them on Instagram, and the soccer club reached out to us and they were like, hey, we saw that you got tattoos of Orlando City, like the logo, and we just wanted to see if you guys would come in for a promotional deal. And so they brought us into this like photo studio, and it was,
that's crazy, dude. You guys have stories, bro.
Well, they pay you $10?
No, they gave us a jersey. Yeah. And I think like one ticket to a game.
Wow, dude.
Was it good seats or no?
No, it was like supporter section, standing room only.
Goodness, man.
They gave you a bag of chips.
You a bag of chips and a cheese stick.
Yeah. Yikes. And so like they put us all over these, I'm sure Deanna could probably find the picture. They put us all in these like billboards, like in the airport, all over like Florida, down I-4. It was like,
did they tag your company at least?
This was like, I was 18.
Want to be like this fan?
But no, this guy? It was so like Orlando is called the City Beautiful, and it was just like the City Beautiful just got a new tattoo, and it was my brother and I. Like I was obviously like flexing. And they did some Photoshop on it.
Really? Made you look freaking buff or what?
For sure. Made me look a little bit bigger than I was. And, but yeah, it was cool. I mean, it was a fun experience. Brady, why are you laughing at me, dude?
Sorry.
This is about to be the RNC show.
This is about to be the RNC show.
Give me my money back.
Give me all my money.
Just give me my money.
Yeah, you're $18, buddy.
But yeah, that was my story of being on billboards, which I think Deanna's trying to find. Hey, Jackson.
Hi, Jackson.
Wow, okay.
Okay. He's in a hurry. He's got to get to church.
Just to let you know, he didn't say anything back.
I know, I can hear.
No, I'm letting him. Whoever's talking, though, bro. Like, whoever's listening. Like,
oh.
He left on a cliffhanger.
Yeah, true. Sorry. So, I mean, Corey, you got anything you want to bring up right now? Or Brady? Noah? No? Okay. Here's a topic I wanted to talk about. And it's like essentials for Christian life. The way I kind of look at it is like when we go buy a new car, there's an owner manual in the car, and it tells you like all the like non-negotiable things you have to do. Like obviously you got to make sure you got good tires, change your oil, change your transmission fluid, all this stuff.
Spoiler alert.
Way to go, Noah. But yeah, that's to
way to steal the punchline, bud.
To us, that's the Bible, which in another episode I had said one of like my favorite like analogies of the Bible is basic instructions
before leaving Earth. Mm. I'm sorry. Duck.
But yeah. And so like those same kind of like principles go along like with our lives as like believers. And I was...
Are you kidding me right now? I'm just
playing. Get out.
Out.
I was... I've been doing some like research and trying to find like... Like today and putting together like these like essentials for life. And I actually found a really like after like studying some sites and stuff, I found a really good.
That's the type of stuff we need a camera for, dude.
What just happened?
You got to click that and put it on the tox and the grams and the.
Anyways. Sorry, Noah just smacked me.
Yo, can you keep going?
And so this list came up with, seek God, not sin, as number one for like an essential for a Christian life. And it, I don't know if you guys want to pull these up because for some reason I didn't do it. Pull a Bible out or your Bible app.
What scripture?
Amos 5:4.
We were in Amos 5 on Sunday, bro.
We were.
Oh, then I probably have it out.
100%. It's in my history.
Wow.
I literally have it already pulled up. That's
okay.
Flipping nuts.
Well, what's Amos 5:4 say?
Amos 5:4 says, Jesus, this is what the Lord says to Israel, seek me and live.
Yeah. And so God, it's in here, it says God is a life giver, will find life in no other. Mm. Like, so that's like rule number one for living a Christian
seek
life.
Seek God, not sin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom.
And so for number two, it was fear God, not men. Mm. And it clips Proverbs 19:23, which it kind of gives, and in this website, the reason I'm reading off this is because I read through probably like 6 or 7 different websites, and like this one just stuck out to me. And I was like, this would be a good thing to kind of share with people. And it says, our God is holy and is the Lord God Almighty. When I think of power he holds, I can't help but fear him and hold him in reverential awe. That's a tough one for me to say.
Reverential. Yeah, like reverential? Like reverence.
Reverence.
They used to tell us at a teen challenge that people were being loud. They'd go, reverence!
I got a lisp, bro, so it's hard to say it sometimes.
It's all right, bub.
Do you care?
It's okay.
Do you care more about what men think of you than God? Then learn to fear God, and you will be preoccupied in walking in his presence, not wondering what other people think of you.
That's big.
And that one, like, sticks with me because for, like, a long time, like, when I was young, like, especially in high school, like, I was just like, man, like, what do people, like, think of me? Like, I'm not doing, like, the right thing, but am I doing the cool thing?
Dude, that's same not for high me. School. That's me. I'm 31 years old, and that still it rings true around my brain. I got to fight that off daily.
Yeah, I mean, I believe it. But like that one kind of hit home for me, that number two. Mm-hmm. Number three in this is love God, not the world. And it has 1 John 2:15-17, which I'm not reading the verses. So if you guys want to look up the verses as I'm spitting them out, when I say you guys, I guess I mean Corey, because you're the one with the phone out.
I would
blow my nose.
Be okay, go blow your nose, Brady.
1 John?
Yeah, 1 John 2:15-17. And a little bit of what it says is, what is the object of your affections, power, recognition, hobbies? Not too long ago, I visited an unbelievable house. And as I walked around it for just a moment, my thought was, I could have had a house like this. But I was reminded that a house is not what life is all about. The world is seeking to seduce us into a love affair, but we must love God and be preoccupied with pleasing him alone. Mm-hmm. So, like, that one, like, to, essentially to all, like, that one hits home, like, to, I'm sure, to a lot of, like, men in this world. Because a lot of men before preoccupying themselves with God, like they'll preoccupy themselves with worldly things, with Instagram. And for the same reason, we're not on Instagram, on social media.
I'm not on Instagram either.
Come on.
Yeah, but you're on all of the social media. But you're not a married man. But yeah, still, there's no room, just like you said last week, not on the podcast, but there's no room for social media in a married man's life.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
It's just not, that's not what it's for. And I would encourage non-married men, like, it's, there, nothing really good comes from it, like, to be honest.
Well, dude, it's so, it encourages idolatry.
Yeah.
It encourages vanity.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it, man. Think about what the, like, the craze is right now of like, what's the thing that Ava likes, the filters? My daughter's, like, nuts about them, the Snapchat filters, where you literally just stare at yourself, and it distorts versions and pictures of you, and that's, I promise you, bro, majority of people on social media look at their own profile and their own pictures more than they look at other people's pictures. And to me, it's been nuts, man. I remember ever since, like, MySpace, I would see it, I'd have little glimpses of, like, of what life really was, even before I was saved, man. I think it was, like, preemptively leading up to my surrender. But I would see it for what it was, and it was just, it doesn't mean anything, bro.
Yeah.
It's useless. Unless you can do what we intend to do and use it for a tool to, you know, advance the kingdom of heaven, it's useless, man. Like, my wife uses hers for her business and to promote God, man.
Yeah.
And I feel like anything that the devil has in plan, like, God can trump it, but it takes us, it takes the soldiers. Man, it takes the warriors to get up there and use it and put a foot down and take a stand against it and say, no, dude, I'm not using Instagram to look at half naked pictures of 18-year-old girls. I'm going to use it to, you know, tell them that Jesus loves them, man, and they don't have to use their body to get people to like them.
For sure. And I, for anyone wondering, I'm not the one. Noah's not the one. Brady's not the one that runs the R&B show social medias. That's all Deanna. We put that in her hands. So all the fire content you see on there, that all comes from her. Number four is believe God and not the deceiver. And it's, I just realized that all the verses are hyperlinked. So if I just click them, it'll pull up the verse.
Come on, man.
And so it's John 8:44. And John 8:44 says, you belong to your father, the devil. Sorry, let me start again. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was murdered. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding the truth, for there is no truth in him.
Father,
when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So, let's see. I just threw it away now. Whoops. This one, I kind of liked their description of, like, this number four. And it is, in 1938, a man in Long Island ordered a very expensive weather barometer. He unwrapped it and realized that the arrow that was supposed to reflect the weather he was experiencing was stuck at the bottom, pointing at the hurricane. So he slammed it down a few times, and when it didn't respond, he wrote a hot letter to the manufacturer and mailed it off on the way to work. When he came home, he found that a hurricane had hit and everything was gone. So it's like he kind of, like, thought, he was like, this thing's, like, broken, it's lying to me, it's not right. And he got mad at it because he decided to believe the piece of equipment, like the deceiver in this situation. And it says, as believers, we sometimes don't want to believe the truth. When life and scripture collide, which one do you believe and trust? The deceiver wants us to believe the lie. Will you believe God? The scriptures tell us that without faith, it is impossible to please God, but our nature is to move towards unbelief. Never forget that your adversary is the father of lies. He wants to destroy you, so he works to make us doubt the promises and to accuse the brethren.
So, like, that's what scripture refers to him. He's the accuser of the brethren. So the crazy thing about Holy Spirit, my voice, and the devil's voice, they sound eerily similar. So it takes, you know, you have to have discernment, you have to pray for discernment, and you have to stay in communion with God, man. You have to walk with him, because I don't know when I'm really walking in the will of God, but I know when I'm walking outside of it. And when I'm walking outside of the will of God, man, and that's when that devil... That's when that deceiver accuses me, you know, and it reminds me of my past. He reminds me of just the broken relationships, the countless bridges that are burned. And you have to discern the voices, man. Anything that is not pure love or pure peace, that is not from our Father, man. Yeah. That's from the other one.
That's good. That's good. And so the next one was obey God, not your appetite. And it's 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race of all runners, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They did it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and I make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And when it speaks on appetites, it's not obviously not talking about like your food. Hunger and food appetite. So it's like our appetites are the passions that we have within our flesh, contrary to the spirit. Cravings and battling to be satisfied. If you give it even the slightest to these desires, the enemy can use that to launch an attack in your life. At the same time, the same trivial act in obedience to God may be used to launch a powerful, life-changing ministry. Our passion must be subordinate to the cross. Which is just like, it's basically like nothing's in your control. Like, and if you let the slightest bit get in, then that's when the full-blown attack goes off. Number six is serve God and not self, which is Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am.
Send me, Lord.
Send me. The concept of becoming a bond slave is in the scripture means that we are the slaves and he is the master. That means that we must surrender completely without reservation. Many would see this type of service as lowly, and it is humbling, but it should be seen as a privilege to serve such a loving God.
It is, man. It's a privilege. It's because a lot of people choose otherwise. Uh-huh. You know, you got, man, it's so, for me, I try to think back at like what I was doing when I was 19, and if I even knew anybody that believed. Literally, I'm literally trying to reflect. I'm sure Bianca can probably testify too. It's like, dude, when I was 19, I don't think I could tell you one single person that believed in Jesus. Not one. So the fact that I have two that are standing outside of the norm, it blows my mind, man. It's so awesome because that's the choice. You guys are choosing God and not to choose the world. That's just awesome to me.
And the last one on the list is worship God, not comfort, which is probably my favorite one on this list, because the things we find comfort in is usually the complete opposite of what God wants. And
No one's stopping you.
I'm not going to lie. I don't know how to say this book in the Bible.
Let me see it.
Habakkuk. Is that you said that? Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't know if he said that. It's weird, like, having the headphones on.
Some people, I mean, it depends on you. Some people say Habakkuk. Some people say Habakkuk.
So it's
Habakkuk. You have to talk. My wife is the Old Testament aficionado. I'm not going to lie to y'all. Like I said, I fell in love with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mm-hmm. And I've read through the New Testament, I don't know, man. I don't know, 10, 15, probably 20 times, start to finish. And like I was telling Noah, like I read one book at a time.
Yeah.
But if you want Old Testament, talk to the wife. She loves it. She loves it. I don't know, man. It's hard for me to read the Old Testament. I have to be spoon-fed the Old Testament. I can't. It's not self-taught for me.
Yeah.
If I don't get it taught to me at church, I have no idea what the Old Testament even refers to, man. It's hard. It really is.
And this one was Habakkuk 3:17-18, which it's, though the fig trees not bud. Wow, this is, what version is this? Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the field produces no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and the cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God my Savior. I don't know anyone who enjoys suffering, but I do know many who have benefited from the growth that occurs as a result. Mm. Are you celebrating God and worshiping Him in the midst of your pain, or do you seek comfort by escaping it? When suffering comes, you must move through the pain to the God who allowed it to come to fruition. When you escape, you miss the comfort God gives in the midst of that pain. Mm. And I know a lot of people, like, they have a hard time with wrapping their head around the fact that, like, how can you worship a God that allows, like, suffering mm. and all this stuff? And, I mean, I have a hard time answering that one sometimes, because when I'm, like, put on the spot and someone's like, oh, man, like, you worship a God that lets kids die of cancer. Yep. It's like, yep, I do. See you later.
Yeah.
Like, I try my best, but sometimes I just, like, I blank out. Mm.
That's the age-old argument.
Yeah.
Literally, it's the argument as old as time is, how can you worship a God that lets innocent people suffer? Amen. That's where faith comes in.
Yeah.
That's where faith.
For sure.
You know.
But, I mean, that was the list, and that's kind of like those essentials for the Christian life that I found the most accurate in today's day and age. I don't know. I mean, we didn't really plan much past this, but again, I don't want this episode to end.
Bro, I fell for something at the gas station today. I was just thinking about it. It's like, you know, when like people come around and be like, oh, we're not from here. Do you have any money I can have?
Oh, they got you.
They got me.
Give me the fake gold.
They got me. I gave them like $15.
Nice, man. Hey, dude, that's what we're called to do, is take care of the poor. Really, like, if you want to be real about it, for real.
But then I saw him drive away.
Oh, man.
Sounds like a spaceship's taking off. You guys hear that?
It's my car.
No, it's that thing.
Oh, that thing's getting closer to the house. They're shooting a missile. That's what it's quite literally called. Underground.
Dudes are getting overtime out there.
Yeah, 6:19. Good thing we're 30 seconds from the church. We have church tonight at 7. Brady's coming.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
Let's go home.
Bubba.
I'm sick.
You're not sick, dude.
Oh, really? Am I not sick now?
I'm sick of hearing you say you're sick.
Ooh. It's my dog's birthday. I gotta be there for him.
No, Brady has a lot of homework to do tonight, because
37 assignments.
He's been slacking behind because he's been really sick.
Yeah, the plague.
Didn't you bring up something?
No.
What we talked about in Bridges Room.
Oh, yeah. The thing about you wanted to ask him that we didn't get to ask last week. It was on topic for last week.
Okay. So obviously, like, I like a ton of shows. There's like a lot of like jail and like, you know, prison. My question to you is it very accurate? And if so, what show was it most accurate, like jail wise? Or like, you know, kind of like the whole like system of like, you know, going through all of that kind of stuff, like, you know, courtrooms and all that.
Have you watched many jail shows?
Well, yeah, dude.
Have you watched Prison Break?
I have not.
Oh my gosh.
Full disclosure, and I do not advocate any God-fearing Christian to watch this show. Me and my wife watch it. We repent. It's called Mayor of Kingstown. Mm. It is like, dude, it's super, I mean, it's like, it's R-rated gory, but it's about this little town that has a bunch of prisons in it. That's a little, I don't even know if this is a word, like dramatized. Dramatic, but there's similarities. So it's I mean, pretty much, dude, if you watch any like reality, you know, jail or lockup show, that's pretty much how it is, man. It's very segregated. Majority, especially southern jails, is racially segregated. And it's not the fact that it's not like the old like 50s like where the whites hate the blacks and the black hate the white. It's literally like the black people stayed to their side, and the whites, and then there's Mexicans. So that part is true. Any part that you've seen that says that there's like racial segregation, and it's not by, you know, just choice. It's just literally, bro. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of have to. And then, I mean, I don't know, bro. It's been so long since I've been to jail. Last time I went to jail was 2017. Thank God. 2019. Remember when I did like 7 months. It sucks, man.
What for? Parole.
I had a parole violation and a possession. I got pulled over. I was on a motorcycle and I dropped it in front of a cop. Literally, like, I went to throw my leg over a bike because a cop pulled into the parking lot and I dropped the bike and fell underneath it. Hey, for real. I was all messed up. It essentially saved my life. But jail is horrible. It's the worst thing that could ever happen to a human being because it takes your manhood away from you, bro. They turn you into like
you're a ward of the state.
Exactly, like, bro. Right, you got Ridge, no Ridge knows. Dude, yeah. Ridge used to work at a prison, babe. He talk about an adversary. He was that. I'm just playing.
He's got beef with you now.
No.
Dude. Yeah, I'm sleep with one eye open, Corey.
All right. But thank God, bro, I never went to like the max, the level 5 and the max. My charges never warranted that. I was always in with like the level 3 common general population kind of guys. There was fights and there was drugs and there was gambling and stuff, but it was never like the most I would see was like a little 10 second gang fight, little 10 on 10, and then they would break it up. I never seen nobody get shanked up or stabbed. Oh, that stuff does happen.
Yeah.
On the more maximum security yards, and it's horrible, man. It really is horrible because those guys are, so it's, most of them are never getting out. So it's like, how can you tell somebody not to do what they want to do when they're never getting out of prison? There's no incentive.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like nothing. Kind of.
I was also thinking. About
there's no leverage.
No.
There's like, go ahead. No.
I was also thinking about how it's cool that Jelly Roll will go to the jails and you know, sing worship songs with them and preach the gospel.
Yeah. Corey Asbury does that too, man. The guy who sings Reckless Love. Mm-hmm. Or,
yeah. Bro, Jelly Roll story. He is turning his life around.
I know. Chris, like, yes, dude. It is awesome. Another one. There's Salvation. You got to pay attention because the media is not going to blame it. You know what I mean? Unless you're really hip on like who to follow and who to listen to. But there's a bunch of people that come to the Lord, man. A bunch of famous people.
But it's crazy how like... is it CJ Stroud?
It's called Shaw.
Praise God, bro. And they cut it off.
I already know. I remember I watched this thing with Dana White, and he kind of at the end of I think it was a big A-list fighter, yeah, he got on him, dude. He's like, nobody wants to hear about Jesus, man. We're here to talk about the fight. Dana White, it's sad, exactly, man. It's horrible.
He's kind of a deadbeat, anyways.
No, I mean for sure, dude. He's a degenerate poor guy. He needs Jesus, man.
Yeah.
But it sucks, man. But I love it. I still to this day, bro. Every time I see an athlete, specifically, but you got to watch it too, bro. Is because, you know, Steph Curry, one of my favorite, one of the greatest of all time. Literally, ask Miyaka. I've been a Steph Curry fan since the Splash Brothers were like both 20 years old, you know what I'm saying? Like the OG Splash Brothers. And he claims to be Christian, right? He's got scriptures on his Insta. He's always posting God stuff. He does his thing every time he makes a shot. But the dude's pro-abortion, man. He's pro-women's. So it's like, right? You have to use that discernment that we talk about. And not every voice is God. Every voice that says God is not godly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, dude, all for it, Steph. Like, you know, you give shout and praise to God stuff when you make a three-pointer, but you don't make a stand. He said that the reason he's voting for Kamala Harris is because she believes that women should have, he said it's the most important thing, by the way, is that she believes that women should have a right to her own body. Now, I'm not political, nor do I intend on voting for either one of them, but I know that the God of the Bible does not want any baby to be killed. Mm-hmm. There's so many people that would be willing to adopt a baby regardless of circumstance. And honestly, man, like women should be responsible and know that they're capable of getting pregnant. I don't know, dude. And then that goes into the thing. It's like, well, what if they're raped? And that's what it's like. Geez, Louise, man. It's a never-ending battle. You can't win it.
My mom actually, she said something about pro-life, and it kind of changed something in my head, being like pro-life or pro-choice. And it was... She was like, okay, you can be pro-life on the stand of abortion and all that. Mm-hmm. But then she's like, where does it come to when it comes to, like, the death penalty?
Mm.
And I was like, I was an advocate for, like, I obviously didn't go out and, like, march for the death penalty, but I worked in the prison and I was like, man, like, some of these people, the best place for them is to be under this jail.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like... That's not pro-life.
Wow.
That's not being pro-life by supporting the death penalty as well. because it's none of our position to take another man, woman, human being's life.
It's a slippery slope, right? Dude. Like, we're so literally...
She's like, you got to be pro-life through and through.
That's right.
All the way. That's right. Like, you can't pick and choose what you decide to be pro-life about.
That's good, man.
And it definitely, like, we had that conversation, like, what? Like, it was, like, 6 months ago. And on our way to church one time, and I was like, man, I guess from here on out, I am not for the death penalty in the correctional system.
That's crazy, right? Well, and it's, so a lot of states are disbanding it, too. Yeah. A lot of the more progressive states are getting rid of it.
It was to the point to where, like, when I worked in the correctional system, I was, like, trying to sign up to be one of the CEOs that was, like, not because, obviously, I wanted to take someone's life, but because I believed in
it. You wanted to make a difference, right?
I wanted to make a difference, and I thought that was a way to make a difference, was to be there when that was happening in Virginia for, lethal injection is what they did in Virginia. Mm-hmm. I know there's some crazy states like Texas that
fry them.
Still have, like, the electric chair and firing lines.
They
and,
fry them?
Yeah, they put them in the electric chair.
Hey, I read somewhere, dude, that in Texas it is legal. Still, it's like an old law from the 1800s that it's legal if somebody comes on your property and steals your horse that you have the right to hang them.
Yeah.
Literally, like, if you, I'm serious, man. It's like an old law that never got done away with. And if you catch somebody on your property stealing your horse, you can hang them on your property.
Yeah, that's
good old Texas.
I
know, right?
Texas is a different place.
America.
But Texas is also, like, beautiful. Deanna and I drove through there coming back from Colorado one time. Mm-hmm. One of the, like, especially North Texas, there's, like, still mountains and cliffs and windmills for miles. Hey, Jackson.
Hi.
There you go. Now he says hi.
I did say hi.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Couldn't hear you. Love you.
Love you.
But, yeah, I mean, we got to get to church in 30 minutes. So we probably should wrap this up.
I feel like we've been rambling long enough.
Yeah. Anybody have any closing thoughts? Anything like that? No? 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 I said no like there's like eight people at this table.
I just, like, this kind of keeps coming to me.
They can't hear you better.
Come on.
So I feel like you just have to be really careful, like, as a Christian, you know, not to compromise yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of, like, mixture of people that say they're Christian and, like, say that they follow God, but yet they don't do things that are in accordance with God's ways and the Bible. You know, and I experienced that when I got into, like, entrepreneurship. You know, there's, like, a lot of, like, new age and, like, witchcraft and, like, manifesting and, like, pretty much, like, all about the self. And, like, I was kind of getting pulled into that, and then the Lord started, like, really speaking to me, and, like, this is not right, you know? And so I feel like you just have to be really careful, like, as a Christian, like, who you align yourself with, because there's a lot of other people that say they're Christian, but they're not, like, do what they're doing, or does what they're doing align with the Word of God? And what I'm doing aligning with the Word of God?
Yeah.
And that's when really, you know, when I started reading the Bible and really, like, following God's ways was when I really started being, like, awakened to, you know, how I was compromising myself.
Sorry.
It's good.
Good work.
Yeah, that was so, hey, while you have the mic, do you want to say a prayer to close this out?
Sure.
Okay.
Lord, Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord. We thank you for how you're using each and every person, God, in this room, Lord. And we just ask, God, that you continue to move us out of the way, God, and that, again, you continue to be magnified and glorified, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Deanna, do you have anything you want to say?
You really put me on the spot.
No, you got anything that popped in your head or throughout what we're talking about? Not yet? Okay.
No, I do agree with that, though. Like,
yeah,
it's a lot of, like, political agenda where it's like they want to look like, you know, this great person in front of the cameras, and then they go home and they do, like, these crazy things.
You can't pick and choose.
That's a lot of people that, like, I'm not going to name drop here, but, like, that.
Yeah.
You know, I.
9 to 5, they're Christian.
On a weekly basis. Like, you know, I'm Christian. I'm, yeah. And they're not going to church. They're not following God, they're, you know, out doing worldly things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's not for us to judge.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah. When Jesus said that you can't be a lover of God and a lover of money, you'll either love one master and hate the other, or vice versa. You can't. It's not possible.
Can't double dip.
Exactly, bro. Mm-hmm. We're not. It's how does Scripture say it? That we're in the world, but not of the world.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, "Have no fear, because I've overcame the world."
Yeah.
So just because we're living in it doesn't mean we have to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what that's what it's about, brother.
Bro, sometimes that lover of God and lover of money, I take that one too serious. And like Tim will be like, or Tim or Robin, they'll be like, "Man, how you got to get out there and work?" And I'm like, "Man, I don't love money." Man. They're like, "Yeah, well, how are you going to support your kids and my daughter?" And I'm like, "Oh, you're right. Let me get out there.
Time to go to work."
But yeah, man. I think that's a wrap for today. Man, I feel like my heart's beating really fast, but it's just this thing out here. If my heart was beating that fast, you guys would have to rush me to the hospital. Mm. But
I've been there, bro.
Until I go to bed, usually. Heart attack before I go to bed.
Yeah. Put you right to sleep, dude.
Exactly.
It's been real. Yeah. No, it's been real, man.
It's been real, real, real.
Yeah.
That's it, dude. I mean, I guess this is my little peace out. And Noah, you want to hit us?
Peace.
Brady.
Bye.
Blessings.
All right, everyone. We'll see you later.